Hello and welcome to the show, all my fellow fans of horror. Actually have an episode released on a Friday, doesn't it? Rather than the previous couple of episodes that have just been spread out because it's just been me playing catch up. And I also want to say happy spooky season, everyone. We're in the month of October, which is my personal favorite time of the year. And everything starts getting spooky and all the ghouls come out to play. It's a great time, isn't it? In case you don't know, I am planning on having a Halloween special where I'll have a special episode come out on Halloween. Maybe I'll have a guest on, or maybe I'll just have it be an extended episode with many, many segments in it. We'll just have to see when the time comes. Now, with that out of the way, if you don't know how these podcast episodes work, first we have this little introduction segment where I just say hello to you all. Then we take a short break, which allows me to thank any and all sponsors and allows you to get situated. And then with season two, we move into a little just talk where I just talk about a horror monster or a horror trope or something like that. Now, I want you all to just sit back and relax. Let in that beautiful moonlight and forget all the stresses of the modern day world as I prepare to both entertain and horrify you. Alright, so what you've probably gathered from the title is that we are in fact talking about Frankenstein and his monster, aka Frankenstein's monster. Yeah, that's one common misconception, is that the scientist is actually named Victor Frankenstein, and the monster that he makes is never really given a name. It's just actually called Frankenstein's monster. The monster isn't called Frankenstein. So, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, some contrasts between the book and the movie. First, I want to talk about some facts about the book, though. It was written in 1818, meaning it's over 200 years old at this point. Jesus. And it was actually written by a woman, which was very rare at the time, as there was not a lot of women writers. Her name was Mary Shelley. And another rare thing about her is that she actually didn't operate under an alias or a fake name. There was very few women writers at the time, but there was still a few, but most of them operated under a fake name, like a gender-neutral name or a full-on male name, so people wouldn't be like, ooh, a girl wrote this, so I'm not going to read it. But no, Mary Shelley actually chose to publish it after under her real name, which was even more rare than the fact that she was a female writer. But nonetheless, the book is insanely good. I highly recommend it. If you haven't read the book, read it. It's amazing. And there's actually a lot of differences between the book and the movie. Obviously, there is a few similarities, but there's a lot of differences, like a lot. First off, in the book, we actually get a lot about Victor's backstory and how he grew up in a wealthy family, and his family met this poor girl who was an orphan living with another family, and they thought that she was so beautiful that they adopted her. Yeah, I guess screw all those other orphan kids who weren't beautiful enough. But then Victor ends up falling in love with the girl that they adopted, and she eventually will become his wife, but we'll get to that later. Eventually, I'm skipping over a lot here because there's a lot of small details in between, and also I don't want to spoil absolutely everything for you. Yeah, by the way, spoiler alert for the book, I'm going to get into a lot of it here. Victor Victor Frankenstein, eventually grows older, and he has just this giant thirst for knowledge. Like, he just wants to learn and learn and learn and learn. Like, he just never wants to stop learning. He wants to learn as much as he can, and it's kind of driving him nuts. When he gets to college, you know, that thing that kind of happens with people, you know, especially, like, certain smart people, like, they'll, like, think all highly of themselves, and then they'll get into college, and they'll realize that they're not the smartest person in the room anymore. That doesn't happen with Victor. In fact, as soon as he gets to college, his want for learning just goes even more out of control, and he just starts kind of becoming crazy with it. Like, he kind of gets, like, mad with knowledge, I guess you could say. And eventually, he starts pondering about life and how he can create it. So, eventually, he decides to raid a crap ton of graveyards for body parts. Like, honestly, it's like a shocking amount of graveyards. And he actually starts, you know, getting to work on creating, you know, life. Now, in the book, we actually know how exactly he reanimated the body. So whenever you see, like, in the movies or anything like that, you know, with the big strike of lightning and the whole "it's alive" thing, you know, that's all the director of the movie's vision, not actually based off anything in the book, which kind of makes sense, you know. Do you know how we would reanimate a corpse? No, so the author probably didn't know either, so they just kind of left that part out. So yeah, that's an interesting fact, that whenever you see, you know, the whole big lightning strike. Sorry about that. Whenever you see the whole big lightning strike thing, you know, that was the original director's vision, and not anything based off the book. Now, when Frankenstein's monster is created, another big contrast from the movie is that Frankenstein's monster in the book is actually beautiful. Like, he's very handsome. He's described to be very, very good looking. The only thing creepy about him is that his eyes are weird. Like, his eyes are just unsettling and kind of scary to look into. Because, you know, they glow yellow. So, it's very startling. And, in fact, it's so startling that as soon as Victor sees the glowing yellow eyes, he realizes, like, you know, he just gets scared, and the whole thing a failure, and just runs. Like, he's like, "Oh, my beautiful creation." And then he sees his eyes, he's like, "Oh, screw this." It's really funny, actually. So he goes to sleep in his room, and he wakes up in the middle of the night to see his monster peering down at him with his glowing yellow eyes. And this freaks him out again, and he just runs. He just runs away, and he kind of, like, just swears off science forever. Eventually, like, his friend comes to check on him because he hadn't contacted his family in over 3 years. Because I guess he was just so involved with his work. But his friend comes to check on him, you know, and he doesn't see the monster back at his house. He assumes that all of his, like, you know, worries are over. But he eventually gets a letter from his dad saying that his brother is dead. Victor's brother is dead. And this, you know, kind of breaks, you know, his heart a little bit. So, you know, they were going to go back home to, you know, pay their respects for the funeral. And then he was eventually going to marry Elizabeth because he hadn't gotten the time to do that because, you know, he was away for college and, you know, creating a monster. So on their way back, he like mopes around in a rainstorm for a bit, you know, being an angsty college kid that he is. And he just, during the thunderstorm, lightning strikes, and he sees the unmistakable silhouette and glowing yellow eyes of his creation. And, you know, this freaks him out a little bit. And then he realizes that the monster killed his brother. because of that. You know, the monster is stalking him now, and he realizes, like, you know, what the monster did. Flash forward a little bit. His brother had, like, this necklace, and they found the necklace with one of his other sisters, I think it was. And so, you know, they blame her for murdering his brother because, you know, they assume that she wanted the necklace. And this is kind of the messed up part and kind of where, like, Victor Frankenstein turns into, like, you know, kind of an arrogant jackass to a full-on, like, irredeemable person because, you know, he knows that she is innocent because he knows that, you know, his monster killed his brother and not her. But he doesn't want people to think he's crazy and he doesn't want people to know that he reanimated a corpse. So he just doesn't say anything and he lets her die. Like, through the whole trial and through her whole fake confession, he just lets her die. He never speaks up and never gives evidence. Like, he's just like, he just doesn't want people to think he's crazy. So he just lets her die. Like, it's, God, he's such a dick. But so anyway, eventually, skipping forward a little bit here, he runs into his monster again, and basically the monster can full on talk at this point, and he basically just says, you know, like, hey, calm down, and then, you know, they sit together, and he explains everything that's happened to him in the past 2 years. Yeah, it's been 2 years since the monster was created at this point, by the way. Lots happened. Traveling took a very long time back then. But anyway, the monster talks about how when Victor ran away, he was barely sentient because, you know, he was basically a giant baby who had just been reanimated. So, yeah, like, Victor just straight up left him alone and he, like, didn't really, you know, understand anything. Eventually, he discovers fire. And, you know, after a small incident where he realizes that, you know, fire hurts if you touch it, he eventually figures it out and he learns how to, like, cook and stuff from this. And another thing that the films don't depict is that Frankenstein's monster in the book is actually depicted to be very smart eventually. Like, you know, he starts off not knowing much, but, you know, he gets intelligent, you know, pretty quickly. Like, you know, he learns quickly, just like Victor does, and he operates by the scientific method. And eventually, he walks into, like, a small village, but he realizes that whenever he sees somebody else, they either scream and run away or, like, throw rocks at him. So, you know, all he's ever been is abused and stuff. You know, abandoned by his creator and abused by everyone who, you know, comes around him. Eventually, he finds this small little, like, I think it's like a cellar. I think it's a cellar that he hides in, and he hears the family that the cellar belongs to, and he from hearing them speak, he, like, learns English eventually and, you know, all that jazz. One, like, really messed up and sad thing, though, is that he feels incredibly lonely because, like, he realizes the family that he's, like, hiding in the cellar of is, like, so happy together. He hears them talking and how joyous they sound whenever they talk together. And he realizes that he doesn't have that and, like, you know, he doesn't have a family. He's all by himself. And whenever he tries to, like, be around other people, he just gets abused. One of the family members that he's hiding from is actually blind. So he gets an idea. Since this guy is blind, he can't see me. So maybe, you know, I can actually have a conversation with him. So while the other family members are out, he goes to talk with the old man. And they actually have a really nice conversation. But eventually the monster gets way too clingy. Like, he just straight up gets too clingy with the guy because, you know, he's just so lonely and he doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to stop talking to him because this is the only real conversation he's ever had with a person. And, you know, eventually the family members come back, they chase him out, but in retribution, the monster comes back and burns down the house. I don't remember if they were inside while he burned it down, but yeah. Flash forward a little bit again, and he runs into Victor Frankenstein's brother, who he eventually murders because he realizes, like, you know, oh, this guy is related to the guy that abandoned me. And so, you know, he kills him. And this is actually really cool in this story because, you know, all he's ever had, or like the only thing he's ever experienced in his life is abuse. As soon as he was born, he was abandoned by his creator. When he saw other people, he got, you know, people screamed at him and, you know, threw rocks at him. And then the only conversation he ever had with a guy was cut short and, you know, he was chased away. So he feels sad and stuff, but at least he knows he has the power to lash out. You know, this is a world he can't control, but at least he has the power to lash out at that world, and he can hurt the people that hurt him, you know? I'm not saying it's justified or anything, I'm just saying that, you know, that's the reasoning behind it. Sorry, talking for this long really hurts my throat. Anyway, we move on, and Victor Frankenstein has learned all this stuff. Alright, sorry about that, guys. Something happened here. But nonetheless, we're gonna keep the show going. Anyway, where did I leave off? Blah, blah, blah. Victor. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, you know, he killed his brother. And. So basically, Frankenstein's monster is like, hey, you know, the only reason why I'm like this is because, you know, you left me alone, and, you know, I'm alone, I'm lonely, and stuff like that. So he asked him to make him, you know, a bride. Victor agrees because he wants him off his back, but then he realizes that, like, just because, you know, you give a guy a girl doesn't mean that they're gonna get along. And then, you know, if that's what happens, now they got two angry monsters roaming around. And on the contrast, they could get along too well. And he's worried that they'll make, like, you know, a super race of, like, monster children and, you know, stuff like that. So, Victor Frankenstein panics, freaks out, and destroys the body. Then the monster gets angry. He's like, you know, I'll see you on your wedding night, and, you know, stuff like that. And then Victor's best friend gets murdered. I'm skipping over a lot here. His friend gets murdered, and then eventually on his wedding day later that night, his wife gets killed by the monster. And Victor gets so angry that he chases him down all the way to the North Pole, and eventually Victor dies there when he runs into a ship, and he dies on that ship recounting his whole life story to the captain. And when he dies, the monster eventually shows up to pay his respects, and then he tells the ship captain that he's, you know, he's gonna go off himself in the Arctic, and then he jumps out. And then the story just kind of ends there. So yeah, it's a really, really good book. Highly recommend it. A little fun and also kind of sad fact about the movie is the guy who plays Frankenstein in the 1931 version of the movie, he unfortunately died when he was just 37 because of his, like, alcohol addiction. And the girl that played Elizabeth, aka his, you know, wife in the movie, said that he was the most handsome actor, but also the saddest, which is really tragic. But yeah, I highly recommend reading the book. Highly recommend checking out some of the movies as well, especially the 1931 version. I know that's not technically the first Frankenstein movie, but it is by far the most well-known. And yeah, that's all I got for Frankenstein here today. Thank you for listening. it is once again that sad time where we must part ways. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast, and I hope it both entertained you and got you a little bit more curious and made you want to check out this book or maybe one of the movies. In case you don't know, I started up a YouTube channel where I also upload narrations and these podcast episodes too. So be sure to head over to youtube.com/childrenofthenight or just use the link in the description below. You know, like, subscribe, you know, all that stuff that other YouTubers tell you to do. Also, if you are interested in supporting me more than you already are by watching these episodes and the episodes on the YouTube channel, be sure to head over to patreon.com/childrenofthenight. Or again, you can just use the link in the description. Over there, if you choose to support me, you can get access to polls, which dictate which horror story I'll narrate next. You can get voice acting roles in the podcast. And also, just for $1, you can get early access to the narrations, meaning that you get to hear the narrations before anybody else does. If you do choose to support me in that way, I can't thank you enough. It helps keep the lights on, and it helps make these podcast episodes and narrations in higher quality, and will just, you know, help me a lot. Thank you. And I also have an Instagram page at childrenofthenight1. There I just kind of post some funny horror memes and just kind of give some general updates. So be sure to follow me there if you're interested. And be sure to tune in every single Friday for brand new episodes of the podcast. Thank you all for listening. And until we meet again, I want to wish good night and sweet dreams to all my fellow children of the night.